been, you know, the hardest worker in practice since he's been a kid, and I think, you know, that's gonna really carry him a long way in the NHL, and he keeps doing that, and I think the stuff on the ice takes care of itself in the game, but he has that work ethic, and he has that heart that, you know, now he's wearing that red, white, and blue. It's kind of cool, and I'm looking forward to seeing him on the big stage. Loosing and bleed under sky, so smoky blue-green. I can't foresee a Dixie did she, so it danced the sidewalk clean.
Welcome back. It is hour number 4, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Gordon Miller describing those Max Domi goals at the World Hockey Championship and at the Bell Center 2015. Ty Domi with us yesterday with his pal Knuckles Nyland between 5:30 and 6. Chris is hanging out with us all week. Sean Campbell here as well. Rod Francis, Mitch Melnick until 7 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, we got a World Cup wrap-up, and then Noel Butler is in at 8 with Oranges at halftime.
Gord Miller on Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Morella's Restaurant, with an open kitchen concept, charcoal fire pit, and a wood-burning pizza oven from Napoli, Route 132 next to Poker Palace.
Joining us from out west in Calgary, Alberta. How you doing, Gord?
I'm doing very well, guys. How are you?
I'm fine, fine. Say hello to Chris Nyland. Chris, Gord?
Hey, Gord.
How are you, man?
Hey, what's happening, pal?
No, very little, you know? Nice and hot here.
Yeah, I guess.
In Calgary?
Yeah. Oh. Hot in Vancouver. Just got in from Vancouver. It was really hot there, too.
What? Oh, you're on a trip with Blair. Is that correct?
I am. On a trip. Blair and I are on a trip to visit family.
Everybody okay?
Everyone's good. We had a great time in Vancouver. Now we're doing Calgary and Edmonton, flying home on Tuesday.
All right. Some Canadiana quality time with daughter
there
Blair. All right. This is our first chance to talk to you since that deal was made. I'm wondering if, you know, it's the first thing I thought of. Honestly, I was at a concert on the canal, part of the folk festival here, and Pierre Maguire led things off. My phone was vibrating nonstop, Gord. Honestly, for like 12 minutes, I figured, okay, I better take a look at it. And the first thing I thought of when I saw what the trade was kind of you, because of the goals and the Bell Center chanting his name.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the trade?
I don't know that I quite understand it, unless it's part of a bigger picture that we don't know about. Unless there's a second part of this, I just think when you trade the assets they've traded and you don't yet have a centerman back, unless you think Max Domi's a centerman, I mean, are you not putting Domi in the same box you put Drouin and Galchenyuk in, where you're not sure they're centers? So I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, I think being a playmaking winger is hard to do in the NHL. Mitch Marner's done it pretty well in Toronto. There are other examples of guys who have done it around the league.
Radulov.
But playmaking wingers are hard to come by. Guys who are primarily passers, not goal scorers, are hard to come by on the wing in the NHL.
And both Ty Domi with us yesterday and Rick Tocchet, his coach in Arizona, with us in the first hour of the show, both stressed the need for him to shoot more often.
Right. So you really, with the exception of guys like Joe Thornton, Adam Oates, guys like that, in the NHL, if you're going to be someone who gets, say, 70 points and fewer than 20 goals, it's really unusual. You know, most guys, you have to be somewhat of a threat to shoot. And I remember, you know, the famous story about Scotty Bowman telling Wayne Gretzky at the 81 Canada Cup, if you really want to become a dangerous offensive player, be more of a threat to score goals. And, of course, in 82, Gretzky goes out and scores 92 goals. So I think that it's just really hard in the NHL to make plays from the wing consistently. Most of your playmakers, most of your top playmakers are centermen.
So you're waiting. We're all waiting here.
There's a sense,
Chris, you have the feeling, right, that there is something dramatic going to happen.
Yeah, I think there's something up his sleeve. There has to be, because, again, you know, we hear all this talk, and I was just saying this, Gord, that we're talking about Zadina, Kachuk, this one, that one, Kokiemi. I can't see Bergevin drafting Kokiemi, a guy who is Bergie could not be here if he drafts this kid. He has to get somebody here to help him now. Zadina, to me, would be the logical choice, but you're going to have to get a sentiment somewhere. And right, that's where I think he has something up his sleeve.
Yeah, I mean, But, you know, we talked about this last summer with all the cap space they had and the assumption that they were going to do something dramatic, and nothing came to pass, right? I'd be very wary to give up on a young player. I think, you know, Max had a tough transition in Arizona. Not a great team, not a lot of resources. I remember, you know, talking to a Coyote player last summer. You know, don't forget, last year they had, not this past season, but the year before, they had David Boland, Pavel Datsyuk, and Chris Pronger on their salary cap. They'd acquired them to get them up to the minimum. And he said some nights they only had $28 million in actual players on the ice. So they're about half the minimum in actual players on the ice. So if he goes to a better team, does he perform better? I think so. But again, it doesn't seem to address the need that Montreal has, which has been glaring for a few years, which is a true number one centerman.
And, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, for years, and this is something we were kicking around, Gord, just before you join us, on the air and a little bit off the air, if Marc Bergevin has spent years trying to defend the lack of a quality centerman at the top of his lineup since he's been the general manager by saying how difficult it is to trade for one. And others have gone back and forth and signed as a free agent somewhere else, but that's been his mantra. So now you have a year in which there are some respected people in hockey suggesting that the best young centerman available at the draft could go, as it wouldn't be crazy if the Canadiens selected him, because he's been climbing the ladder this quickly as a prospect. Bob McKenzie has been on that, right, for the last few days. So how do you say what he's been saying publicly for 7 years and then have a center available and not take him?
Yeah, and I would say this. You know, the guy you draft this weekend is likely not going to be a regular contributing player for you for 3 to 4 years.
That's Knuckles' point. He might not be here.
He might not be, is right.
The centerman that Marc Bergevin has to announce that he has is somebody he has to sign and or trade for.
Yeah, because, I mean, this look, for every Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, and guys like that you get in the draft, I mean, how many players from last year's draft played regularly in the league? I think it was four, wasn't it? So, I mean, and two of them maybe shouldn't have. So, if you think that Kokaniemi is going to step in and be your center this year, next, or the year after that, probably not. And if he is, he shouldn't be. You know, for the Matthews, Lion A, for all the Matthews and Lion A's and guys like that, the vast majority of players aren't ready to play when they're 18.
No, you're talking superstar, potential Hall of Famers, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm overly cautious on young players, but I've seen so many of them set back by playing too soon.
I'm sorry, Gord. You could probably, we've got a bit of a delay here, but Galchenyuk is a good example. I don't think you could look at Galchenyuk's progress and say, let's go back to when he was 18 instead of starting him at the NHL, that he could have used another year of development.
And there's so much that goes into that. There's pressure from the fans, pressure from the media. There's the organization, which maybe has been struggling, and say, hey, look, we're so good at drafting that our first-round pick made the team. Look at us. Aren't we great? And so, yeah, I mean, I guess it would make sense. I think you draft the best player. You draft the guy you think is the best player. If you have a need, I guess you lean, if it's close, you lean towards the guy you need. But don't think that, you know, he's going to walk in right now and be a great player. I mean, I say this all the time. How many 18-year-olds play in the NFL?
Yeah, it doesn't happen. But, Gord, it seems to be very close, okay? And whether it's close between Kotkaniemi and Zadina or another option, Brady Tkachuk, let's say, they lean towards the need, and that could be Kotkaniemi. What's wrong with a GM going along two tracks? One track is you draft and you set the franchise up as best you can for the next 3 to 5 years, and then in the here and now, that's when you play poker with free agency and with trades. Like, that should be the approach.
Yeah. Now, you know, what center can you trade for? You can trade for Ryan O'Reilly. I like Ryan O'Reilly a lot. I think he's a really good player. I think he's a great person. I think he's a really good second center on a good team. I think if you got Ryan O'Reilly in the two-hole, you got a really good team. I don't know if he's a number one center.
No, you know when he's a number one center? When you're protecting a lead.
He's a number one center. If the Canadians end up getting him, he's going to be a number one center. He won't be a number two, right?
No, you're right, Chris. Yeah. But just because you make someone your number one center doesn't make him a number one center.
Like, he is not your classic.
Someone $7 million doesn't make him a $7 million player. It makes him someone you paid $7 million to.
And I know a lot of people have reacted to that. That, well, geez, why would you spend that money on Ryan O'Reilly with all that term left on his contract? Whoever is going to come in here and play center as your first or second center, Jonathan Drouin's not a center. He's their number one center, and he's making $6 million a year. What do you expect to pay if you want an established number one center?
Well, they're, you know, next to right-hand shot defensemen, they're almost impossible to find. And I you know, it's very true. So, I mean, you go out and get John Tavares. Now, you know, I think Montreal had a chance at Tavares. I do. At one point, I know that he likes a lot of guys in the team and he likes the setup and everything else. I don't know that the comments at the end of the year were helpful about, you know, the attitude of this team stunk from day one. And
it was a lot of emphasis on attitude. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think that, you know, is a great sort of selling point to the potential free agent. Is, you know, our attitude stunk all year. But it sounds like, you know, the landscape has shifted a little bit in terms of where Tavares might go. First of all, Lou Lamoriello is on the island now, and, you know, I think the odds of him staying in New York have gone up dramatically, especially if they hire Barry Trotz to coach. So, realistically, what are their options?
Their options are try to make a trade for Ryan O'Reilly and sign Paul Stastny.
Okay.
That's it. I don't know.
I would argue in that case you have two number two centers.
That's fine, and it's a vast improvement than what they've had for a long time.
Okay,
for
sure. Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, and maybe you can cobble that together. Maybe you can do that.
And go ahead, Ron.
Well, that would seem to be their best option to try and save Mark's job and squeeze into the playoffs and rely on their old world goalie to make miracles happen.
That's their best option. Is it a good option?
This is the fork in the road moment that a lot of us were concerned about. When you have a general manager who's got the full support of ownership, whether he should or not, he does. And this is a pivotal point in this franchise's history. And his track record suggests that there's a lot of unease, and there should be a lot of unease about moving forward. I hope he can pull the trigger on the moves that have to be made, and he comes out of here and he's a candidate for executive of the year next season. I'm not convinced.
I've been taking some heat because I really thought they had a chance at Tavares, and now everybody thinks it's cooling off. And like yourself, I thought from the beginning when he decided to keep this general manager, I felt he had something up his sleeve. I felt as though this general manager, because he's so close with the agent, went to the owner and said, here's the deal. We're getting this guy. So, don't fire me.
But how could you know that? It's not about what Pat Brisson wants. It's what Tavares wants.
I know, but how would you know it? By maybe talking to Pat Brisson. He's your best friend, no?
Well,
come on. They don't talk. We can't talk about collusion here. We can't talk about breaking the rules.
Tampering?
Yeah, we can't talk about...
He already threw Tavares' name out there publicly. Jeff Molson did that last year.
I mean, come on.
Do you remember?
We
talk about superstar players all the time. We've talked about Tavares.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've heard people say that there's no chance Tavares goes to Montreal. I don't buy that. I think if they make him a blockbuster seven-year, you know, $13 million offer, $13 million a year offer, something like that, you know, put him over $100 million, pretty tough to say no to that, wouldn't it be? To play for the Montreal Canadiens? To fit right in? Like I keep hearing Toronto. Like, A, why would Toronto want him? And B, why would he want to go there?
Well, why wouldn't he?
From there?
Why
be
wouldn't
second
he want to go
fiddle? To, who's to, first fiddle?
To be number two to Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
And what are you saying to Austin Matthews if you go out and sign John Tavares? And where exactly, do you pay everyone else?
Well, what I would say to Austin Matthews is, kid, you got a real good shot at winning a Stanley Cup with John Tavares and the two of you here.
Yeah, and who on defense?
Yeah.
Well, then you trade one of your young.
By the way, we're out of money. We're out of money now, so we.
Well, then you trade one of your other forwards and get a defenseman. Just, I don't know. We're just spitballing here.
You know what you should do? Just go down to Canadian Tire to the defense section and grab one there.
Well, interesting that you should. Then we'll finish up here with defenseman, because when we asked you about Pierre saying he'd take Tkachuk, and you said you like Tkachuk, but there's all, you're intrigued by the number of defensemen that aren't getting nearly as much attention, although recently a lot of people are turning on to that fact. Do you see anybody walking into the NHL next year as a potential partner for Shea Weber?
Like out of this draft, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, Rasmus Dahlin.
Okay.
Gee, if he falls to three.
Maybe that's what Bergevin's up to. Huh? He's going to get Ryan O'Reilly and the number one pick.
So you'd have to trade him the building and what?
So that would like, be that would not be feasible for the Canadiens at this point to draft a defenseman with the, if in fact they keep that third.
Well, I, there's one you really like. I mean, there's a couple that are really good. I mean, the top rated defenseman is Quinn Hughes. I don't think he should play next year. You know, Adam Boqvist weighs 165 pounds. He's probably not ready. The guy that I've seen that I really like is Evan Bouchard from London. A right-hand shot. He's got a great shot. Real good passer. So I think he'll, you know, he scored 25 goals this year, I think, for London, didn't he? I think he had 25 goals. But anyway, I mean, he's intriguing to me. I think he might jump up the draft.
Which you are not working, as we discovered last week.
Which I'm not working, which is fantastic.
But you'll be watching.
You know what? I don't
maybe
think I
not.
Will be.
You won't be watching.
No, you know what? Honestly, I mean, the draft is great to work. I enjoyed working it, but it's just as well reading it.
You're following along on Twitter?
No, I'm going to be out with my family for dinner probably on Friday night, and I'll just, it's not time sensitive.
Well, we have wall-to-wall coverage right here, Gord. So if you use your iHeart app, you can listen to Sean Campbell and Tony Marinaro and Dan Robertson and Mitch Gallo on the floor of Dallas. How about that?
If I do that at dinner with my family, I think that's rude.
Have a great rest of the trip. Thank you for this, as always, and we'll do it again one more time a week from now.
Okay, Blair, say hi to Mitch.
Bye.
There you go. Bye, guys.
Bye, Blair.
See ya.
Oh, somebody from Cornwall wants the Habs to trade for Jonathan Toews.
There you go.
Would he solve the problem at center? Oh, he's old. He's slow. He's played a lot of hockey.
He's missed the playoffs.
He's got a short fuse.
What's better than a football game? A Montreal Alouettes football game in the all-new